This is the Great Outdoor Radio Show. Now, here's Mr. Great Outdoors, Greg Wagner.
No, that's Mr. Great Outdoors right there. Welcome, welcome. Happy Saturday morning to you. You are warmer. I'm older and colder, but you're warmer. Greg Wagner here. This is your Great Outdoor Radio Show. We're on Omaha's Boomer Radio Network, Fremont's Big Dog Country Stations. And a big shout out to the online listeners on myboomerradio.com. Listen live there, myboomerradio.com. Podcast there will be coming up via a link, courtesy of the guy back there noshing on a toasted sausage, Nick Burris, immediately after we're done here. Welcoming to the broadcast for his inaugural appearance, this is one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my tenure, so to speak, with Game and Parks. We welcome to the microphone the Chris Chizinski of the University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
Oh, thank you.
School of Natural Resources. Can I say specializing in human dimensions of wildlife management?
Absolutely.
Work.
Yep. So human dimensions, when we think about wildlife management, we think about, you know, the plants and animals, the habitat, and then the humans and how they're all integrated in there. So I study the human side of that and the interaction with the animals and the habitat.
Ever more important. If you have a question for Chris, ask it. This guy has a resume that's unbelievable. Been all over the country.
Yep.
And I'd ask you right now, just tell us a little bit about yourself. You told me about yourself before the broadcast.
Yeah. So I'm from Northwestern Connecticut, and people tend to think of Connecticut as a suburb of New York City, but where I grew up, it was pretty rural.
Beautiful.
Yeah. We have moose and bear and all of those kind of things. Grew up fishing, traveling all over the rivers, fishing, fly fishing, all of that kind of stuff. After I graduated my undergrad, I went and worked on Long Island Sound on lobster boats and got to spend some time with the lobstermen out there, which is a whole different world. It's a lot like those TV shows you see. They're an interesting folk, but it was fun, real fun. After that, I went and started a master's program in West Texas. So I went from the Long Island Sound down to the deserts of West Texas. And
I said that was culture shock, didn't
oh,
I?
Oh, man. My little tiny car got lost in the sea of trucks.
I was going to say, in big trucks with guns in the racks.
Yep.
And big 10-gallon hats.
And big, yep.
And West Texas.
The first day I went out in the field there was 116 degrees. And so it went from being low 60s to 116 degrees in a matter of a month. And so, yeah, it was quite the experience. I spent 7 years down there, so I grew to like it. Still miss the tortillas down there, the world's best tortillas.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, well, you can't beat them there. After that, I went all the way up to University of Minnesota and worked on some projects. The effect of timber harvesting on the riparian ecosystems, everything from upland game, deer, birds, fish, aquatic invertebrates, water quality characteristics, all of that kind of stuff. And then transition to common carp management, which was a whole nother different world. So we did a lot of under ice seining for those where it would go out in the frozen lake with all your trucks. You drill a big hole in the water, put remote control submarines with giant nets on them, and we would swarm around the carp and take them out on a hole on the other side. We'd pull out 5,000 common carp and take those either to a cat food factory or in some of the times, because we were doing research, we'd actually tag them and put them back into the water. And the landowners didn't love us putting them back in the water.
I wouldn't think that.
But we were using it to kind of identify where they were going, how they were moving around and all of that kind of stuff. After that, I came down here to Nebraska in 2010 and started working on, for all those that have been creeled out at any of the water bodies across the state. Yeah, there are surveys, those people that come up and ask what you're catching, how many people are in your party. I ran that program for about 5 years. I'm still involved in that project. It's one of our longer going projects with the Nebraska Game and Parks. We were kind of focusing on the Omaha area right now. So we're getting ready to get our crews out to go survey people around the Omaha area and learn about those anglers and the lakes they're using and what they're catching, why they're going out to these places, that kind of stuff.
Nice. You better give a shout out to Lindsay into the kids.
Yes.
Right now.
Yep.
Right
so,
now.
So, yeah, Lindsay's one of the reasons I came actually down to Nebraska. I met her. She worked for Nebraska Game and Parks, did aquatic education, fish biologist. And then we have three little kids together, Elvis, Pearl, and Faye.
I love your Facebook posts. They're legendary. I love them. You want to talk to Chris, 402-553-1490. Again, one of the most interesting people you'll meet. 553-1490, area code 402. Neil Nelkin is the Dean of Nebraska Radio, commercial radio, on the motherboard, as we say there. Morning to him. And then waiting in the wings, Chris, the butcher who does the weather. But the reason I have guests, you now know, is the Sausage King.
I am looking forward
Omaha
to those.
has brought in homemade sausage with no fillers, no junk in it or anything else. So without further ado, we better check that weather. It's looking pretty good.
Fantastic, as a matter of fact.
That is Ken Stoicich of Stoicich House of Sausage, 24th of Bancroft, 130th and Arbor Streets in the Metro. And then Stoicich.com. Weather, big guy.
Spring has sprung.
Are you going that far?
Oh,
calendar
gosh.
Says winter still.
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't look at the calendar anymore.
Okay. I'm still ice fishing. I'm going to be ice fishing early this next week.
I'm too old to look at a calendar.
Nobody looks at calendars. They look at their phones. Yeah. So weather today, tomorrow, and then early next week.
We got a nice little gradual uptick today. We got 29, maybe. I think we'll hit 31, as a matter of fact, today. And about 35 tomorrow, and then 40s all week long.
Woo!
A little sunshine, a little cold at night, 20 degrees, but that's still 20 degrees or 40 degrees better than the last week.
Exactly.
So we got to really like that one.
Yeah, we're going to have some south winds blowing, bring in some more sandhill cranes. We had normally Valentine's Day, we always get a few hundred, and they withstood some of the weather. Some may have tried to fly south. There's no place to go south, all the way to the coast almost, frozen water, snow cover, with fields and everything else. But spring is coming. Snow geese. Ross's geese will be flying before we know it.
Yeah, I heard the snow geese, there's a heck of a lot of them, too.
Yeah, still, there's a Mark Vertiska show, Dr. Mark Vertiska right there of UNL. But yes, snow geese, light geese, continuing to be, aren't they, Chris?
Yep.
A problem in the Hudson Bay area, in the tundra, continuing. I think Mark's been saying we're just taking the surface of what's being born kind of off. It's just been a wash.
Yeah, even with the conservation season, it's hard to keep those numbers down.
And and I had somebody the other day said, Greg, can you still cowboard them? I go, you can use the Trojan horse method of the cowboard, but they're very patterned to them. It seems like they have this innate ability. They just know where there's danger, what not to, land.
Right. Yeah.
As far as what to watch out for and everything. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Yeah.
A show with Dr. Mark.
Yeah, that would be a great one. I work with Mark a lot.
No doubt. All right, Ken Stoicich, put in your St. Patrick's Day orders.
Yes.
Corned beef. Your corned beef is unlike any other. It's not just full of salt.
No. We try to make it taste good, not salty.
Yeah, exactly. And you do. You do well.
Thank you. We try on that one.
Yep. And I will be sharing probably a corned venison recipe or two on my blog from you as well.
Yes.
Very good. They're also, not a lot of salt. You always said, don't overdo the salt.
Yes.
Especially in this day and age.
Yep.
Yeah, people get carried away with it, and people are cutting back on salt, so they're not as used to it as they used to be.
Yeah, so. We were talking with Chris, your deer take, as the late season extension wrapped up on January 31st.
Thank God.
Yeah. He's tired of sitting here. And from me, and from Rich. We were donating them, though, weren't we? We were donating them.
Yes.
But beyond the extension, you still had a larger deer take than ever.
Yes, it was quite a busy year.
With the pandemic.
Pandemic was quite a busy year, and thank goodness, I think in the next few days we'll finally have everything made and everything back to the hunters.
All right. Now, give us hours for both locations for folks to come in and pay you a visit and look around these old European-style meat shops.
We're down south. We're open till 5:30, and out west, on 130th, 2nd, and Center, we're open till 6 o'clock.
You'll do curbside pickup with somebody who wants a large quantity of pulled pork, pulled chicken, pulled beef, or a mixture?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Phone number?
341-7260. Almost forgot it there. Gosh darn.
These are test questions, Chris. You would think these are the extra credit ones. They're tougher. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, just remember that we like to put the fun in the bun.
Okay, now we can shut his mic off. Thank you, Ken Stoicich, Stoicich House of Sausage, 24th and Bancroft, and South O, baby.
Absolutely.
Just to the north of 24th and Vinton. That's my store. And then 130th and Arbor Streets is to the north and east of 132nd and West Center Road, where, yes, our wild turkeys, they've been in the intersection, actually. Yes. This past week they were. Just, you know, just they're just looking at their reflection in that vehicle of yours in the paint, and just be traffic wary of them.
I thought it was Valentine's Day. They were just looking for love.
Well, they started early. How you like that for a comeback? There you are. All right. We're going to take our first time out on the Great Outdoor Radio Show. We thank Ken Stoicich as always. When we return, it's Chris Chazinski of the University of Nebraska at Lincoln after this.
You're listening to the Great Outdoor Radio Show with Greg Wagner. Just a few miles west of Omaha is the sleepy town of Brainerd, Nebraska, home to the Oak Creek Sporting Club. At Oak Creek Sporting Club, you find a great location for shooting clay, trap, or skeet. A huge clubhouse that could host everything from a family get-together, corporate outing, or a gathering of old military buddies. Even guided hunting outings. Click oak-creek-club.com for all the details, and then start making plans to join your family or friends. Oak Creek Club, just a few miles west of Omaha in Brainerd, Nebraska.
Looking for a quick day trip or a little getaway? There's a hidden gem just 20 minutes from Omaha. The Dodge County CVB would like to invite you to check out beautiful, historic downtown Fremont. Browse through the antique stores, shop the amazing boutiques, or just sit down, grab a bite to eat or a cup of coffee. Stay the day or plan an overnight. It's the getaway you need without the hassle of a long travel time. To find out all there is to do in Dodge County, check out visitfremontne.org or on Facebook at Main Street of Fremont.
Hi, I'm Ken Stoicich with your morning grill tip. Gas or charcoal, what's best? Well, gas is convenient, no waiting around to start cooking, and it gives you a wide range of temperatures that's easy to maintain. Charcoal, on the other hand, will give you a range of heat that's almost an art form to maintain. It gives you better options of adding flavors. Who doesn't love that smoky charcoal flavor? Or you can add cherry, hickory, or applewood to the fire for a different taste. Me, I'm partial to charcoal, but you can choose whatever you like best. I'm Ken Stoicich for the House of Sausage on 24th and Bancroft and 130th and Arbor.
For the very best in convenience, it's Cubby's. Stop in today for hot and fresh food, cold drinks, and that local spirit. And the great taste of Godfather's Pizza, with Godfather's Pizza Express inside many Cubby's stores. With every large Godfather's Pizza sold, Cubby's gives a dollar to the school district. So help Cubby's raise some dough for your schools at participating locations. Cubby's in Blair and across the land. For the Cubby's closest to you, hit Cubby's.com.
The Great Outdoor Radio Show continues. Once again, here's Greg Wagner.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoor Radio Show on Omaha's Boomer Radio Network, Fremont's Big Dog Country radio stations, myboomerradio.com anywhere on the globe. I had to explain the globe to my grandson the other day. A globe. So I gave him mine, so nice, he knows what a globe is. Awesome. There you go. Very special guest today is Chris Chazinski, University of Nebraska at Lincoln, in the School of Natural Resources, specializing in the human dimensions of wildlife management. We're going to get into that. But I need to mention, before time gets away from us, our fine sponsors on this program. We really appreciate them. Of course, you heard from Ken Stoicich of Stoicich House of Sausage. We also have Cubby's Convenience Stores, all of them, 36 locations in Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota. 1 week from today on this program is Delone Wilson, the CEO and the president of Cubby's Convenience Stores, coming in to the broadcast. Delone is one of the most charitable people you'll ever meet. He is a big-time outdoorsman. I know that his young son is as well, and you're going to hear probably him talk about a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today, but that's 1 week from today. And Cubby's Convenience Stores, we appreciate them. Also have the Oak Creek Sporting Club. This is a controlled shooting area. This is a hunting preserve about 50 miles west of Wahoo. It is near the town of Brainerd, Nebraska, in what I call north of Lincoln, west of Wahoo, the Bohemian Alps. Mm-hmm. But the Oak Creek Sporting Club, they are tailored to getting new people into the world of upland game bird hunting or shooting sports. And they specialize in kids hunting, disabled individuals hunting, newbies out hunting. Talk to Terry Kriz, oak-creek-club.com. They're very affordable. They have great dogs. You heard from Chad last week. Oak-creek-club.com. Also have the Dodge County Convention and Visitors Bureau there at dodgecounty.nebraska.gov. And you mentioned Dodge County. Of course, you're thinking Fremont Lakes, one of the busiest areas in the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission's park system. A lot of things going on there. Look for new things coming down the line with Dead Timber State Recreation Area. We're going to have some public meetings about that. Going to maybe change the face of that a little bit. It always undergoes a lot of flooding, but the Dead Timber State Recreation Area, you can look for some neat things to come near Scribner, Nebraska. So Dodge County, appreciate them being part of the show. Chris Jasinski, Associate Professor of UNL in the School of Natural Resources. I think before we progress any further, I think define human dimensions of wildlife management.
Yeah. So human dimensions is a pretty wide field. And as I mentioned before, it focuses on people and people in the environment. But it's a science discipline that kind of incorporates a whole bunch of different ways that we study people. So it includes everything from psychology, sociology, economics, political science, communications, kind of all under that umbrella. And we look at a whole bunch of things. It's pretty diverse. My lab tends to focus on more of the hunting and fishing world and outdoor recreation. But then there's people that focus on more parks and ecotourism. So a pretty broad field. But we want to know how people value wildlife, how people are affected by wildlife and fisheries, how they want wildlife to be managed, and then how the management affects them. So attitudes, preferences, all of those kind of things. And some of the areas that we kind of dive into are motivation, so why people are going out and hunting and fishing to begin with or foraging, what's holding them back from getting into hunting and fishing, and just how maybe they want regulations to be. Do you want your duck season a little bit longer? Do you want a little shorter? Do you want more birds? All of those kind of things. So it's pretty broad, pretty fascinating field when you start thinking about people and thinking about preferences and trying to tailor management to make people happy and making sure you're providing them the opportunities. Along with that, so that's our research focus, but we also teach several classes at UNL for our undergrads to kind of get a background in the human side of wildlife and fisheries management.
Excellent. What are some of the latest findings that you have with your human dimensions work in wildlife management?
Yeah, so we've been doing a whole bunch of research. We've looked at everything from elk hunting in Nebraska, which is always a fascinating thing. We've been looking at what are some things that what drives people to go hunting and fishing. So we just did a big study throughout the Central Flyway. Some of you may have even received some surveys from our lab looking at what is it that drives you to go hunting and fishing. And we found some things that other people have found. Being out in nature is always the top of the list. Being with other people is always top of the list. And those things beat out harvesting, teaching, all of those other kind of maybe other reasons you may want to go hunting and fishing. The interesting thing is that whether you're an angler, you prefer duck hunting, you prefer big game hunting, you prefer upland game hunting, everyone kind of feels the same way. Those two things are the main drivers out there. The only one real difference that we see is those that really prefer to big game hunt like filling their freezer, like the meat aspect more than all the other groups together. And the other interesting thing with that is that it doesn't really matter if you're in Montana or in Oklahoma. People are motivated to go out and hunt and fish for the same reasons.
I tell people every day at Game and Parks through a variety of mediums that research to us is so vital. Otherwise, you know, they'll just say, well, Greg, you tell them. or Daryl Bauer, you tell them, or Luke Meduna, you tell them.
Yeah.
No, you tell us.
Right.
It's so important because we're basing bag, possession limits, wants, desires, season length on research.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a survey, I tell every individual, the worst thing you can do is chuck it and not fill it
absolutely.
Out. Right, Chris?
Yeah.
It's so important. And you may end up speaking for dozens of other individuals. Is that
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And we try to make sure that we're sending out surveys to a broad group of people. We want to make sure that the stuff we get back is representative of the population. So we work a lot with Nebraska Game and Parks and helping them conduct surveys. And we, like I said, we very diverse in the kind of surveys we work with them on. And I can promise you that that information that we process and we report goes to Nebraska Game and Parks, and Nebraska Game and Parks is using that human dimensions
information. Oh, big time,
sure.
Yes.
It is.
It's a hot field right now in the country, isn't it?
Absolutely. So human dimensions really kind of grew in the 70s and 80s and has really skyrocketed since. And there's some state agencies have devoted human dimensions folks. My lab, luckily, gets to serve as that kind of expertise in human dimensions with Nebraska Game and Parks. So it is getting integrated into management decisions. They're using it to drive things like regulations, all of those kind of things. It is an essential part of current fish and wildlife management.
Some of our hunters and anglers and others have heard R3.
Yes.
R3. They keep hearing R3. They're kind of going, well, I think I know what that is. You might stress the importance of that and the need for hunters and anglers for wildlife and fisheries management to be cognizant of what R3 is and also some of the problems that are associated with it in society.
Yeah. So it's really interesting that in the way that we fund conservation and wildlife management and fisheries management in the United States, it's fish and wildlife are a public good. People that want to go hunt and fish buy a license. But they also buy sporting goods, right? You buy your gun, you buy your ammo, you buy your boat gas. And there's a federal excise tax that is collected on that. It gets passed to the federal government, but then redistributed out in the states for fish and wildlife projects. So the state agencies get funded in two ways. One, by those licenses that you're buying or those permits to go turkey hunting or fishing. But also we're getting these federal tax dollars back. The problem is, over time, we've had a decrease in the number of hunters and anglers. And so with this decrease in hunters and anglers, we're losing this pool that allows us to adequately fund wildlife and conservation. So you can think about, not only are we focusing on game species, but if you're building a habitat for better deer, right, you're also... It's an umbrella. It's also working out and leading to threatened and endangered species. It's protecting. It's bringing back pollinator habitat. So it's not just game species. And so over time, we've had this decrease in those people. So there's lots of funding issues that people are concerned about and not really any movement on how to replace that loss over time. So what R3 is a strategy that states... NGOs and the federal government agencies have used to recruit, retain, and reactivate. And so recruit is bringing in brand new people that have never done it. Retention is keeping those that are involved in it to keep them going. And then reactivation are those people that drop out and how we get them back into it. And so there are lots of different strategies, lots of different things. Nebraska is actually one of the things leading the way in some of this R3 research. They were one of the first state agencies to have these plans set forth on how to do it. And it's all attempt to try to make sure that we continue the amount of people and the funding sources that come into wildlife conservation. It's hard to conserve deer and turkeys and pheasants without having some sort of money to fund the people and the habitat projects and all that kind of stuff. So
right on. Let's have some fun with this audience.
Yeah.
Let's play Great Outdoor Trivia. Round number one, and I like here, Chris suggested yesterday some trivia questions, and I like that first one. We're looking at our phones right now, and we'll give Neil Nelkin the answer here. Great Outdoor Trivia, round number one. We're going to play for a big packet of information, everything you need to know for state parks, boating, fishing, spring turkey hunting for 2021. and we'll send it all right to your doorstep. I'm also going to sweeten the pot a little bit and include pocket-sized, small, waterproof waterfowl ID booklet because we're on the cusp of the spring migration of wild fowl coming through the Central Flyway. So we'll have that in there for your wildlife viewing. And Chris, ask that question. It's the first one.
Sure. What is the most and least preferred game species in Nebraska? This is based off of some survey research that we did a couple years ago.
All right. 402-553-1490. The first caller that gets it right wins. Get to talk to Chris Jasinski. When we come back, we'll see if you won. And I'm going to ask Chris about some COVID-19 research he and his crew have done at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln after this.
This is the Great Outdoor Radio Show with Greg Wagner. Just a few miles west of Omaha is the sleepy town of Brainerd, Nebraska, home to the Oak Creek Sporting Club. At Oak Creek Sporting Club, you find a great location for shooting clay, trap, or skeet. A huge clubhouse that could host everything from a family get-together, corporate outing, or a gathering of old military buddies. Even guided hunting outings. Click oak-creek-club.com for all the details, and then start making plans to join your family or friends. Oak Creek Club, just a few miles west of Omaha in Brainerd, Nebraska.
Looking for a quick day trip or a little getaway? There's a hidden gem just 20 minutes from Omaha. The Dodge County CVB would like to invite you to check out beautiful, historic downtown Fremont. Browse through the antique stores, shop the amazing boutiques, or just sit down, grab a bite to eat or a cup of coffee. Stay the day or plan an overnight. It's the getaway you need without the hassle of a long travel time. To find out all there is to do in Dodge County, check out visitfremontne.org or on Facebook at Main Street of Fremont.
Hi, I'm Ken Stoizes with your morning grill tip. Gas or charcoal, what's best? Well, gas is convenient, no waiting around to start cooking, and it gives you a wide range of temperatures that's easy to maintain. Charcoal, on the other hand, will give you a range of heat that's almost an art form to maintain. It gives you better options of adding flavors. Who doesn't love that smoky charcoal flavor? Or you can add cherry, hickory, or applewood to the fire for a different taste. Me, I'm partial to charcoal, but you can choose whatever you like best. I'm Ken Stoizes for the House of Sausage on 24th and Bancroft and 130th and Arbor.
Are you feeling a bit hungry? Running low on fuel? Be sure to stop by your local Cubbies for the very best in convenience with friendly hometown employees. Try the great deli food, served hot and fresh. Save money on gas, food, and merchandise by downloading the Cubbies app on your smartphone. For the very best in convenience, visit your local Cubbies today. Serving Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota communities since 1979.
The Great Outdoor Radio Show continues. Once again, here's Greg Wagner.
Don't look at me like that, Chris. It's the only call I do well. The American Crow. I can't botch it up. Welcome back to the Great Outdoor Radio Show on Boomer and Big Dog Country. MyBoomerRadio.com podcast coming up after this show on MyBoomerRadio.com. A link there. And then I'll share it on social media as well. Special guest today on our program, brought to you by Cubby's Convenience Stores, Stoicy Childs with Sausage, Oak Creek Sporting Club, Dodge County Convention and Visitors Bureau, is none other than Chris Jasinski. I've been wanting to have him on for a long time. He's awfully busy, but I'm glad I got him now, and we'll have him back again. Trust
Absolutely.
Me, you can run, but you can't hide. And I think you and I are going to link up and turkey hunt. Spring turkey hunting.
I need it.
Oh,
I'm on a drought.
Oh,
4-year drought. I got to get one.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
I got to remember to shoot because I'm watching them. My wife says you do well with turkeys, Greg, because that wild turkey there, that Jake or that gobbler has the brain the size of a pea and yours. Never mind. There you go.
Yeah, I'll witch you.
I could do that. And then I need them love crazed so I can draw them in. Chris Jasinski of University of Nebraska at Lincoln. School of Natural Resources, on the cutting edge of so many things in the world of fisheries, wildlife, and outdoor recreation. And I get to lecture down there once in the fall with Daryl Bauer. Really appreciate that for Dr. Lisa Panisi. I was telling Chris during the break here, such fine people there.
Absolutely.
I mean, such committed, deeply passionate mm-hmm. people.
Yeah. The School of Natural Resources is a great group of colleagues. we have pretty diverse all over the board on things, but we all work together. I work with so many different people on so many different projects, everything from, as I mentioned, hunting and fishing, but we've also got a lot of projects in the conservation realm, how farmers and landowners view hay cutting to water practices. So yeah, it's diverse. It's lots of room to explore and a lot of fun. Great group of people.
We're playing Great Outdoor Trivia, round number one. I think we've had a couple guesses, but
I can
tell you
for sure, it is not pheasant.
Okay. Chris, you might ask your question once again.
Sure. Absolutely.
And playing for a big packet of Nebraska outdoor information, timely info.
All right.
Pulling up our phones. Here we go.
So what is the most and least preferred game species in Nebraska?
By hunters. All right. So 402-553-1490. Come on. I know you're there. You know. The most popular game species among hunters in Nebraska, and then the least popular, 553-1490, 402-553-1490. COVID-19, what a crazy time it is for us.
Crazy.
I mean, that's an understatement. But you've done some work, some research, you and your crew, about COVID-19 and its effects on spring turkey hunting last year when the pandemic began.
Absolutely. So we were actually in a good spot there. We've been doing, we helped Jeff Lusk do the turkey survey, spring turkey surveys every year. So we added some questions in last year about how COVID affected you. And for those that maybe don't know or don't care to remember that there was a moratorium on non-resident permits just to keep COVID from coming into Nebraska. So we did see this drop off in non-residents. But one of the most surprising things was that we had a great abundance of new people, residents hunting spring turkey. And these were people that brand new to the sport, but also people, as I mentioned, that reactivated group, that they came back and they wanted to try it out. And so we asked surveys about why people are doing it. And I think it really provided an opportunity to get outdoors, to kind of get away from the stress of COVID and all the restrictions. And it was really fascinating. Some other interesting things, there was really no change in the number of harvested. So it wasn't that with the decrease, people harvested more turkeys. They were about the same. There were some issues with restriction and in trying to find places to go outdoors or go out to eat and those kind of things. But it was a very, very fascinating thing. And now we're looking at it for some other hunting seasons, too. So we're going to be looking at deer and all of those kind of things.
At Game and Parks, as you know firsthand, we're trying to figure out how do we retain these new individuals or the lapsed individual that came back to us during the pandemic.
Yep. Yeah.
Fisheries, wildlife, parks.
Yep.
That's the big key right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're conducting some more research right now, and some of you may be receiving these surveys. So those new people that did pop out spring turkey hunting last year, we're asking you, why did you choose this year to start coming out? Was it COVID related? Is there other things? How willing are you to keep hunting?
All right, we have a winner.
Yay!
On Great Outdoor Trivia, round number one. Chris, special guest today, Chris Jasinski, UNL, Neil Nelkin, here we go. We're going to go to line number one, Steve Whittington of Omaha. Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Doing good, sir. Good morning to you.
All right. So, Chris, what was that question again?
So the question is, what is the most and least preferred game species in Nebraska?
Steve,
Everybody knows that the most preferred is deer and the least is rabbit.
That's it.
All right. Steve Whittington of Omaha. Good job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Get you all that material sent. Any questions or comments for Chris Jasinski?
No, not really. I love the show. Keep up the good work, fellas.
All righty. Awesome. Thank you very much, Steve. Have a great weekend. And I would take the kids out sledding or the grandkids. I probably would even do a little ice fishing. What do you think? Be careful.
Sounds like a winner.
Thanks, Steve. You have a good one. There he goes. Steve Whittington of Omaha getting that one right.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're going to do Great Outdoor Trivia round number two.
I can add a little bit more information on that.
Go ahead.
So deer is the most preferred.
Yeah.
Pheasants is second.
Okay.
Quail is third. Turkey is fourth.
Turkey's fourth.
Yeah. Then we start getting into people that are less excited about things. So that follows waterfowl, grouse, and then rabbit is the last. So grouse is way down there at the bottom. And that was actually the reason why we did the survey. So we were looking, grouse is one of those types of hunting in Nebraska that has really fallen from the heyday in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And people just don't want to do it as much.
Game resource over a broad expanse of geography.
Yeah, and relatively abundant. Lots of opportunities for it, but people just don't want to do it. And so we were looking at where grouse were falling out on these things and maybe why people aren't doing it. The one thing that really popped out in that survey is that they don't like the taste of grouse, which surprised me. I like the taste.
You've got to give them a lot of TLC after you shoot them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll be liver.
Yeah.
Yep. And I like liver, but I mean, you do. Mm-hmm. It's got to be immediate cooling and field dressing, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you just can't put them in your pouch after the dog's retrieved them.
Let them sit in the
and it's warm because it's early September, most likely. Yeah, exactly.
So there's lots of opportunities for grouse, and you can go out there and fill your limits and be part of the Upland Slam.
My landowners in the Sandhills are very apt to let people on. Mm-hmm. They're like, just if you find a gate open, leave it open. Otherwise, have at it. Yep. Go for it. Watch my cattle.
And part of that project, too, we were looking at grouse shootout out there in...
One box in Mullen?
Not in Mullen. It's...
The Sharptail shootout.
Sharptail shootout.
Thank you, Neil.
Yes, thank you. We went out there and interviewed people that were participating in that, kind of asking them, why are you doing that kind of thing? And once again, kind of hitting back to the stuff I talked about at the beginning, that it was camaraderie. It's coming in from people from all over the place. It's for a good cause. It helps raise money for Mullen, Nebraska. It was an interesting area.
Let's take another time out. Got to pause for the cause and do our biz here on the Great Outdoor Radio Show. We have so much more coming up with Chris Jasinski of the University of Nebraska Lincoln School of Natural Resources. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Great Outdoor Radio Show with Greg Wagner. Just a few miles west of Omaha is the sleepy town of Brainerd, Nebraska, home to the Oak Creek Sporting Club. At Oak Creek Sporting Club, you find a great location for shooting clay, trap, or skeet. A huge clubhouse that could host everything from a family get-together, corporate outing, or a gathering of old military buddies. Even guided hunting outings. Click oak-creek-club.com for all the details, and then start making plans to join your family or friends. Oak Creek Club, just a few miles west of Omaha in Brainerd, Nebraska.
Looking for a quick day trip or a little getaway? There's a hidden gem just 20 minutes from Omaha. The Dodge County CVB would like to invite you to check out beautiful historic downtown Fremont. Browse through the antique stores, shop the amazing boutiques, or just sit down, grab a bite to eat or a cup of coffee. Stay the day or plan an overnight. It's the getaway you need without the hassle of a long travel time. To find out all there is to do in Dodge County, check out visitfremontne.org or on Facebook at Main Street of Fremont.
Hi, I'm Ken Stoizes with your morning grill tip. Gas or charcoal, what's best? Well, gas is convenient, no waiting around to start cooking, and it gives you a wide range of temperatures that's easy to maintain. Charcoal, on the other hand, will give you a range of heat that's almost an art form to maintain. It gives you better options of adding flavors. Who doesn't love that smoky charcoal flavor? Or you can add cherry, hickory, or applewood to the fire for a different taste. Me, I'm partial to charcoal, but you can choose whatever you like best. I'm Ken Stoizes for the House of Sausage on 24th and Bancroft and 130th and Arbor.
For the very best in convenience, it's Cubby's. Stop in today for hot and fresh food, cold drinks, and that local spirit. And the great taste of Godfather's Pizza, with Godfather's Pizza Express inside many Cubby's stores. With every large Godfather's Pizza sold, Cubby's gives a dollar to the school district. So help Cubby's raise some dough for your schools at participating locations. Cubby's in Blair and across the land. For the Cubby's closest to you, hit Cubby's.com.
The Great Outdoor Radio Show continues. Once again, here's Greg Wagner.
Welcome back. We're outdoors with you electronically, so to speak. Great Outdoor Radio Show here on Boomer. Big Dog, brought to you by Cubby's Convenience Stores, Stores at Chalice of Sausage, Oak Creek Sporting Club, Dodge County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Neil Nelkin is on the board. Nick Burris is in the background. Podcast, if you're joining us late, didn't catch the first part of the show, myboomerradio.com or see any of my social media. Somebody said to me the other day, Greg, you've got lots of friends. I go, no, they're Facebook friends. They don't know me. They wouldn't want to be in the blind with me. I'm talking too much. There you are. But myboomerradio.com. Chris Chasinski, a very special guest today. He's like a rock star with all these young people at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln doing all kinds of top-notch, cutting-edge research. They're very much aligned with us at the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, and really worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I want to hitchhike on Larkin Powell's trip to Namibia.
Oh, I know.
Larkin, are you listening? Do you need somebody to carry your luggage? He would say, Greg, you don't have value there. Sorry. Couldn't argue that. But so many cool people there, and great to have Chris on. Chris drove up from Lincoln to be here live with you today. All right. Mentoring new hunters. You know, we talked about R3. I'm skipping around with our talking points a little bit here. What do you want to relay to our listeners as far as mentoring new hunters from your research and work?
Right. One is that a lot of people do mentor new hunters, and it's an important part. It's part of that R3 strategy we've talked about, recruiting, bringing in new people. And mentoring can come in lots of different ways. You can bring in young kids is where a lot of the focus has been in. But then there's people like older people like me. When I came here to Nebraska, I had only hunted a few times in my life. And then other colleagues and friends brought me out turkey hunting. And
kudos
those kind of
to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I fell in love with it. It's been a interesting thing this past year. I don't know what I would have done without being able to go out pheasant and duck hunting this year. It was a great escape for me. So looking at some of the relationships on who you want to mentor and why. So some of the interesting things that we've found is that really family friends relationship is the big that new hunters want to have a family or friend take them out into the blind or out into the field. The farther you more distant you get, so like Nebraska Game and Parks, that's low, unfortunately. People don't necessarily want to go out with Nebraska Game
Well, let me tell you something, Chris. In all my years, beginning my 42nd year with Game and Parks, I've never worked anywhere else. Couldn't get a job anywhere else. But when I ask someone, and over the years I've asked this question a lot, who introduced you, who repetitively took you hunting, fishing, kayaking, camping? I've never heard State of Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. I've always heard it's Uncle Joe, Grandpa.
Yep, exactly.
Dad, might be Grandma or Grandma and Grandpa. Could be Mom and Dad, our family. But I don't hear Game and Parks.
Yep. The only one that was lower than Game and Parks employees were complete strangers.
Mm.
So,
and what's interesting, I've had Wayne Hudson on. Wayne Hudson is one of the most remarkable people. Wayne's second in command of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. Hardcore outdoorsman, African-American. And Wayne has repetitively told me, Greg, that you got to get somebody out who doesn't look or act like you.
100%.
And he said, and he's been working on this in the African-American community, so to speak, but we have a catalyst now. Because in the past, Chris, we've had, here's Greg Wagner over here, this old white guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And over here, I've got young African-American just hungry to maybe get out and fish. I mean, get in a kayak, what
Absolutely.
Have you. But I've got over here a parent or a guardian looking at me going, we don't know him.
Right. Exactly.
And then I'm over here going, well, I mean, is this young person on the edge of the law? We had mm-hmm. trouble. Am I inheriting a problem? But now we've got some nonprofits here in Omaha that are bridging that are vetting both ends
yep.
and pairing them together.
Yep.
And I think that's been one of the things that Wayne has done really well here in the Omaha metro area. And we're still, it's a work in progress.
Absolutely.
What do you think of that?
No, I think that's
exactly what's needed
Absolutely.
To get to that level.
Right. And one of the things that we've been talking about more and more is actually another R in R3.
Ooh.
And that's relevancy. Right. So bringing up how relevant hunting and fishing is, as I mentioned before, the funding sources, the cultural, all of those kind of things. But opening up those opportunities, making hunting and fishing more relevant to a wider group of people, a more diverse group of people, people of color, women, all of those kind of things. That's where the future is in mentoring, I think.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah.
And I think you had a stat that I had seen that you had sent me. I think it was last year, 2020, that with hunting, that 12% of the permit buying hunting population were women.
Yeah, yeah.
So of all growing.
And that's the women. There's not a lot of women in hunting and fishing, or in hunting. There's a lot more in fishing. But it is growing over time. And we went through and we segmented a bunch of these different populations of hunters. And it was a relatively low number in absolute numbers. But one of the fastest growing segments of the hunting population is college-aged women in waterfowl hunting. Isn't that interesting?
I did not know that.
It's if you were to
plot them out. That's why we do research, folks.
Yeah. So if you were to plot those all out on a graph, the college-age women waterfowl hunters, it has the steepest increase.
And there's a lot of barriers to waterfowl hunting.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's a lot to it. You're talking leases. There's a lot of permitting requirements there and other requirements. And it's not like, you know, having wild turkeys in all 93 Nebraska counties.
Right.
On most of our state wildlife management areas, easy to get access to hunt. It's a whole different ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to a lot of the motivation stuff and why people go out there and do it. Waterfowl hunting, you could go out with a group of friends. You get to go out and experience those things. So it's an appealing type of thing for different segments of people. And that's why it's important to understand why people are going out and doing it. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's really, really fascinating.
Let's do trivia real quick. Round number two. Chris Jasinski, our special guest today on the Great Outdoor Radio Show on Boomer and Big Dog. And I liked the last one in the stanza that you sent to me.
Okay. So this is some research that Matt Gruntrod, someone in my lab, has been doing a lot. He assesses satisfaction and what makes people happy with their hunting experience. So here's the question. Which has a stronger effect on not being satisfied with deer hunting in Nebraska? Not seeing game or not harvesting?
Oh, I like that one. All right, 402-553-1490. First caller to the show who gets it right wins the big packet of Nebraska outdoor material for 2021. Get you outdoors, get you and your family and others outdoors. 553-1490.
This is the Great Outdoor Radio Show with Greg Wagner.
Just a few miles west of Omaha is the sleepy town of Brainerd, Nebraska, home to the Oak Creek Sporting Club. At Oak Creek Sporting Club, you find a great location for shooting clay, trap, or skeet. A huge clubhouse that could host everything from a family get-together, corporate outing, or a gathering of old military buddies. Even guided hunting outings. Click oak-creek-club.com for all the details, and then start making plans to join your family or friends. Oak Creek Club, just a few miles west of Omaha in Brainerd, Nebraska.
Looking for a quick day trip or a little getaway? There's a hidden gem just 20 minutes from Omaha. The Dodge County CVB would like to invite you to check out beautiful, historic downtown Fremont. Browse through the antique stores, shop the amazing boutiques, or just sit down, grab a bite to eat or a cup of coffee. Stay the day or plan an overnight. It's the getaway you need without the hassle of a long travel time. To find out all there is to do in Dodge County, check out visitfremontne.org or on Facebook at Main Street of Fremont.
Hi, I'm Ken Stoizes with your morning grill tip. Gas or charcoal, what's best? Well, gas is convenient, no waiting around to start cooking, and it gives you a wide range of temperatures that's easy to maintain. Charcoal, on the other hand, will give you a range of heat that's almost an art form to maintain. It gives you better options of adding flavors. Who doesn't love that smoky charcoal flavor? Or you can add cherry, hickory, or applewood to the fire for a different taste. Me, I'm partial to charcoal, but you can choose whatever you like best. I'm Ken Stoizes for the House of Sausage on 24th and Bancroft and 130th and Arbor.
Are you feeling a bit hungry? Running low on fuel? Be sure to stop by your local Cubbies for the very best in convenience with friendly hometown employees. Try the great deli food, served hot and fresh. Save money on gas, food, and merchandise by downloading the Cubbies app on your smartphone. For the very best in convenience, visit your local Cubbies today. Serving Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota communities since 1979.
The Great Outdoor Radio Show continues. Once again, here's Greg Wagner.
See, Chris, you don't have to be a good turkey caller. There we go. Greg Wagner back. Final segment, Great Outdoor Radio Show with Chris Jasinski, University of Nebraska at Lincoln, on Boomer and Big Dog, brought to you by Stoizes House of Sausage. Cubby's Convenience Stores, Oak Creek Sporting Club, Dodge County Convention and Visitors Bureau. We have a trivia winner from Clarkson, Nebraska. The Brabick family, a prominent name in Northeast Nebraska. This is Joe Brabick. Hey, Joe from Clarkson, how you doing?
Morning, Greg. We're doing good out here.
All right, Joe, the trivia question. Chris Jasinski, ask it again.
Which has a stronger effect on not being satisfied with the deer hunting in Nebraska? Not seeing game or not harvesting?
Joe?
I chose not seeing any game.
All right.
Yay.
That's right. Good job, Big Joe. How's things in Clarkson, Nebraska?
Doing well. Had a heat wave the last couple of days.
Yeah. No doubt. Hey, any questions or comments for Chris Jasinski? He's an interesting person.
We've enjoyed the show this morning. I just wanted to say, I know my uncle is probably not listening, but I'm very thankful my uncle took me out, you know, when I was 12, 13, 14. He really got me interested in the outdoors, and I even skipped a few school days to go along with him. And
hand up.
Absolutely.
It's benefited me my whole life, and I'm grateful for him to do that. So.
All right. Awesome. Appreciate those comments, Joe. Joe Brabick, Clarkson, Nebraska. And tell your relative there that he can catch the podcast on myboomerradio.com.
Yeah. And Joe, what are you listening on this morning?
We are listening over the internet on the Big Dog site.
All right. Very good. Yeah, myboomerradio.com or through Big Dog Country through their internet connection on the website. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Thank you, guys. We always enjoy the show.
All right. Thank you. I would be remiss with a couple minutes left if I did not bring up foraging, Chris Jasinski.
Yep.
That's really a frontier, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not a lot known about foraging and foraging behavior or why people do it, where they do it, all of those kind of things. And it's really been something that's growing. I mean, if you look at the Meat Eater podcast, and they've got...
Oh, Ranella's. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been really growing over time. But people don't know much about it, and there's not a whole lot of policy as far as game and parks and those
not
kind
really.
Of things. I mean, there's rules, but it kind of changes by state.
It varies.
Park to park. Yeah. Yep. So we wanted to embark on this survey. A student, Iris McFarland, she came in and was reading Greg's blogs and kind of got interested in it. And so we developed a survey and put it out on social media about why people forage, what they're foraging, all of those kind of things. And it's been fascinating.
I look forward to learning a lot more. I know, again, a little bit about a lot, but in-depthly, I'll be very anxious to see what Iris comes up with. And when we talk foraging, we're talking about, morel mushrooms. It's far beyond that.
Oh, absolutely.
If you read my blog, I'm a fall mushroom hunter. You know, in mid to late summer, I'm picking fruits and berries. Yep. I do a lot with edible plants. Yes, I've eaten dandelions. I've eaten a lot of that.
Yep.
But it was my grandfather, my grandpa Hintz, that taught me, you need to know all this because everything is interconnected.
Absolutely.
Everything is connected in nature. And why would you try to shoot that deer when you don't understand what that deer is eating, its life habits, why it's doing that, why it's on that trail, what its browse is? Very, very important. I think you'd second that.
100% there, yeah. And some of the cool things that we've found so far is that a lot of people actually, when they forage kind of happenstance. They're out deer hunting or they're doing hiking and they see plants and those kind of things. And so a lot more
elderberries.
Yeah, exactly. And then so they'll go and forage. And one of the big things that people really love about foraging is just knowing their food source, where that food's coming from, that they gathered it themselves. You didn't have to go to the supermarket. It's fresh. You know, you got all
self-reliance.
Yes, self-reliance. Yep. That's a huge part. And then like some of the other hunting and fishing stuff we talked about, being outside in nature, experiencing nature, learning more about nature is all really important to foragers as well.
About a minute or so left. Final thoughts from Chris Jasinski, professor at UNL.
Yeah, so we do lots and lots of fascinating research, continually learning. My students are constantly thinking up new ideas and thinking about things to study. So you get a survey from us, please fill it out.
Yes.
Please, if you want to, send us comments. You can reach out to us on a new website up, humandimensions.unl.edu. You can search the website, and you can see some of the research we're going on. But we're always looking to hear from people. So
thank you, my friend, for coming in here.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you to all the kids. Appreciate you letting Chris come here and talk to all of us front and center, live in person. Podcast, myboomerradio.com. We're going to get that right up, and I'll be sharing that on social media. There'll be a link there. You might want to re-listen to this because there's a lot of information that Chris has shared that you're going to need to hear. So thank you very much. I wish you all the best of the great outdoors of Nebraska. Remember, take somebody far younger than you in your household or your bubble out, even if it's sledding. Go outside. Go outdoors. Thank you for listening. On behalf of Chris, see ya.
Tell me.